This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we're back live on Radio Row. It's brought to you by Stella Artois and the Low T Center. Okay, General at your service. We have Brian Broaddus here on Radio Row. We have Lucius Alexander back home in the Pimp Cup at Master Control. You did just miss LA Live. Starts every night at 5:40 if you want to go back and listen to it. You can. Woolchuck and Chia follower here.
Hey!
Okay, Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You have DJ the DJ, remote producing and engineering. Tim Collins, the office ace, is out here with us, and so is Ruben Portillo. Okay, so we got a full house as the G-Bag Nation continues. And gentlemen, the NBA is discussing at length right now all across NBA Twitter the idea that the Mavericks are, in fact, trying to figure out a way to get Kevin Durant on this basketball team, okay? Now, the reason that I think this thing has legs is looking at the roster construction of the Mavs. It's just obvious. If you're thinking about contending and you're thinking about being better than when you had Luka, there's no way somebody that has demonstrated the basketball acumen of Nico Harrison and his support staff would decide that this is better. We can agree on that, right? We also know Nico and KD have extensive history at Nike. And, you know, he absolutely represents what this team needs. Now, if the Miami Heat aren't getting offers for Jimmy Butler, they're not going to send him to Phoenix and allow the Suns to go, you know, attempt to do what they set out to do when they got Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. Then they got to pivot, you know, and this is a Suns organization that has no present, has no future. There have been a lot of discussions throughout the day, a lot of reports throughout the day, that the Warriors are honing in and trying to figure out a way to get KD. What I think is, you know, maybe they have a deal for KD, and now they're shopping the deal, as any good GM would. What else could we get for Kevin Durant if this Warriors thing isn't working out? Let's call around. Clearly, the Mavs have a big need. And, you know, depending on what you would have to give up for Kevin Durant, this team could absolutely be better than what they just were with Luka Doncic. You know, that big guy on the perimeter who can get his shot in isolation, who is a good passer, who I know Kevin Durant's 36 or 37 years old, but is still with his frame and his athleticism a pretty good defender. You know, you look at how you would get to around $50 million. It's obviously P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford. That puts you at 28. Klay Thompson would then put you at $43 million, and you're close enough. You know, and you start to look at contracts, you know, like a Dwight Powell or a Dante Exum that you could include. Obviously, first-round picks, the Suns aren't, you know, going to be foolish as Nico was, insisting on first-round picks. I think, you know, you'd have to be looking at offloading two or three of them.
That I mean, Nico and them won't care. They only want to be here for the next few years anyways. Mm-hmm. They don't care about picks. They just gave up a second-round pick to get the virtually the same level of player in Caleb Martin for Quentin Grimes, and they didn't push to get more from the Lakers. I don't think they care about future picks at all because they don't see themselves having a future with the Mavs, or at least he doesn't, as the general manager. He's trying to go right now. He's giving himself a two-year window to microwave a championship real quick.
Yeah, Yes, and you know, you look at this Mavs team, you know, and I think if you would be the team to try to win it with Kyrie and a bunch of great defenders, I think I saw the 76ers attempt that in like 2000 around Allen Iverson,
yeah.
You know, and it damn near worked out for them, but they ran into the Lakers who had the two superstars who could dictate coverages, and, you know, it was over, I think 4-1 in that particular finals. I don't know. I do want to give Nico credit at least in this exercise of considering, is this realistic that if you make the move Luka for a post player, you've made yourself worse, and the only way it would make sense if you're targeting a championship is if you had another big deal in mind to bring in a player. You know, when we asked Bobby Marks about this last night, he just totally shot it down. No KD, no Jimmy Butler. But now a number of, you know, credible reporters are writing about this being possible. What are you guys picking up?
Well, I mean, it just seems like he's clearly available. Like, teams are calling around on him, and the Suns are now getting to a place where, like you mentioned, the Bradley Beal stuff is a huge holdup for them. So now I don't know why you would want Jimmy Butler over Kevin Durant, and who knows what else is involved and what other pieces they can get. Obviously, if it's with the Mavericks, then the Mavericks would be sending over some pretty impressive role players, even though I don't even think you can do just a one-on-one trade Mavs-Suns. I think you have to probably incorporate a couple of other teams. Maybe this is a 3 or 4-team deal. I don't know. But it is certainly possible if you are able to pull off the gymnastics of it. And yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I just wonder is this still the amount of guys that you just mentioned that you're having to move on from, like the depth factor that is so strong for this team. At what point have you thinned yourself out now and you're just so top heavy and you're depending on older dudes that are all dealing with, I mean, I don't know how real this is because, again, he's on the trade market right now, so he's downgraded Kevin Durant to doubtful with an ankle injury for the game tonight. So
yeah, these last 10 years have not been good for him in the injury department.
So, like, really just leaning heavy on a bunch of 30-plus-year-olds who have pretty extensive injury histories in Kyrie, Anthony Davis, and Kevin Durant, punting on a P.J. Washington, like, that tells you, we don't care about the future at all.
Yeah, P.J. Washington is a great player, maybe even a year before his prime is hitting. You know, just I think the only way I'd give up P.J. is if we were talking about a player the caliber of Kevin Durant.
For sure.
Then you throw in Gafford, and now, you know, you've got to look at playing Davis at 5 again.
And you're crossing your fingers you're still going to get Lively back, and he's going to be himself.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
You're
like,
moving
can
on
you
from all this depth and moving on from a Daniel Gafford, like, I mean, the need for Derek Lively will be more paramount than ever.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if you can. I mean, it seems kind of crazy that Gafford wouldn't be part of that deal, but I do think acquiring Anthony Davis for Jason Kidd, how they won a championship was playing AD at the 4, and then they had JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard as their centers. I think a big part of that, of wanting AD, would probably be, hey, we are going to play him at the 4 because we now have centers that we like in Gafford, and then hopefully Lively comes back. Maybe Gafford's a guy that they try and keep out of that deal. It does seem like you're kind of trying to microwave a championship, though, to your point, which doesn't usually end well. I can somewhat justify, and it's angersome to me about, okay, if Nico only wants to be here for a short amount of time, well, you just screwed the Mavericks' future by moving on from Luka. I do think winning a championship helps heal some of those wounds. But do you look at this West right now and think, now you wouldn't have with Luka, but now that the Mavs don't have Luka Doncic, your window is really what, a 2-year window here until Houston's really good, San Antonio's legitimate, really here and ready to compete as a best team in the West with Wemby, OKC still considered young, up and coming on. Like, maybe you really do have just a little year or two, maybe 3, but this is really your time to cash in if you're the Mavericks, and Nico sees that and is trying to do everything in his power to try and put the best product on the court to win immediately. Still sounds crazy that Luka's not a part of that, but maybe that's what his whole thing is.
The trade from Luka frees up a little bit money under the luxury tax threshold. The Quentin Grimes for Caleb Martin trade today freed up a little bit more money. Could that be to get the wiggle room so you don't have to go over what KD is making. You could throw in a little bit less. And, you know, if that's the case, maybe you could figure out a way to get this thing done without giving up a Daniel Gafford. Because I think without Gafford, your championship aspirations are lighter. But, you know, then you're talking about throwing in Hardy and Dinwiddie and Prosper and Exum and Dwight Powell. And I don't think anybody's really going to miss those guys if you are targeting a championship. But what about the idea of Lively, AD, KD, and freaking Kyrie Irving? I mean, in this West,
I would favor that
team to go to the finals, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if you're healthy, I absolutely think that they would be the best team in the Western Conference. Because now what we're complaining about is you don't have another secondary ball handler. You have that with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kevin Durant is arguably one of the best pure scorers in the history of the sport, mm-hmm. right? I mean, again, it all sucks because we're talking about this, and it's like you just had that guy, and you just traded him.
Right.
Like, we shouldn't be talking
about... None of this
about,
makes sense at all. Would you rather have Luka or KD and AD? You know, I think I'd rather still have Luka. But if you have given up on that idea long-term and you know we're kind of lukewarm on signing him, you know, maybe AD and KD as a combination gets you closer to a championship.
It does this year. Yeah, it does. It makes the big picture move of Luka, if that's what their big grand plan was, make a little bit more sense. It makes it a little bit more palatable. It just still, the one thing that will never be forgiven is the return you got for Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
It will never be enough. Even if you win a championship, it's like, hell yes, we did this. It helps ease some of those wounds. But to me, we shouldn't be having to talk about adding a secondary ball handler. That should have been part of this trade, whether you get a third team in or not.
We've talked about how agents and shoe companies are running the league, right? All three are Nike dudes. KD, AD, Luka. You know, agents are talking, Nico and Rob are talking. Hey, if you're willing to do this deal for AD, we'll make it up to you in figuring out a way to get Kevin Durant there without you having to overpay, you know. And I think those sort of, you know, informal deals, you'll never find them in contracts, but those are the kind of arrangements under handshakes that have, you know, really been the bedrock of the basketball economy since the 80s. You know, it's been, you know, shoe guys and deals more than the league structuring things quite often. That's only been accelerating. So I'm not going to rule that out. You know, when they brought in Nico, they said he had special skills and relationships that would allow him to tap into a talent base that the Mavs, you know, previously had been left out of. I think the acquisition, starting with Kyrie Irving until now, you know, would suggest that that's real. You know, guys want to come here and be involved with Nico and maybe Jason Kidd a lot more than they ever did Mark Cuban and Rick Carlisle. So that's where I'm at in hope mode, I think, is where I'm putting it. But I think it was Sam Amick who floated that the Mavs are trying to get in on this Kevin Durant type of situation.
It was all the guys at The Athletic, all their basketball. Like, David Aldridge was a part of the report as well. So it was, like, really just credited to all their basketball guys at The Athletic that are, like, saying that's what Nico's dream is, apparently.
Wow, that would be amazing. That wouldn't cure fans.
No.
This angst that they have over Luka being gone, I don't think is repairable. But, you know, if you get a championship, I think it would bring in another wave of fans. Maybe they weren't Luka fans, mm-hmm. but they're fans of winning basketball here, and I think that would offset it economically.
You're going to need Luka to also have the Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard career arc start basically right now as well.
Yeah.
So that the hindsight will tell you they knew something about him, his discipline, or just his general health, that this was a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
That's going to also have to coincide.
Can I ask you this question, guys? So in what you've known and what you've seen from Luka here with the Mavs, is there a possibility of that?
Of what?
Him being a ticking time bomb?
Of the arc going the wrong way. Of the you know, the things that we're, you know, I'm not going to call
there's
them a ticking time bomb. But is there something that, you know, because
it's going to have to be age and weight.
See, I mean, yeah. I just know that.
I don't think it's his habits.
I know that we've been really consistent about this, and every season we start off with, you know, talking about Luka, and he looks a little bigger and looks a little heavier and looks a little bit, you know, this, that, and the other. But I just wonder, you know, if I think it's a big enough sample size. I don't think it's a small sample size.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wonder is that what the Mavericks are betting on?
Oh, that's 100% what they are.
I mean, so I'm asking you guys.
That's what they're betting on, but the answer would be no, we haven't seen anything. There wasn't a player that played more minutes in the NBA last year than Luka Doncic. We always were talking about the usage rate and how it was a historic high with him being on the floor. I mean, the dude throughout his career with the Mavericks, say what you want about his weight, he has played a ton of minutes.
Well, don't focus on the weight then. Focus on some of the injuries. Focus on the calf injury,
yeah,
the thigh injury, the shoulder injuries.
He's shown up in the playoffs
from carrying 50 extra pounds.
Played through the injuries, and you might be right. So, to me, no. I don't think that you have any evidence that you can actually say. It's just a projection. It's just like, hey, this is how we feel.
Yeah.
We don't want to. And it really seems like it got personal with Nico.
Yes.
And he didn't want to deal with this anymore.
No,
once he had the power to move on, he did so.
I think it's absolutely personal. 100% personal.
Yes. Yeah.
I think he came in and he saw Luka Doncic under a system where in Dallas – he did not believe in how that team was run.
If you have that intense, like, type A personality,
yeah,
where we're going to work and we're going to grind,
yeah,
those guys that don't share that vision, a lot of those overachievers look at those dudes as F-ups. You know,
I could very well see.
He wanted his superstar to be a Kobe type.
Yep.
MJ type.
Even though the Adelsons are worth $30 billion, I could see Nico walking in there and saying, listen, I'm going to try and save you $350 million right here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
And that's the picture he is going to paint.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to say, listen, we've tried to work with him, his medical. See, I saw it today, and that's why I brought it up. The Lakers agreed to take on his training staff. I think that's the biggest problem that Luka has. It's the biggest problem because he doesn't trust the Mavericks. And because, you know why he didn't trust the Mavericks? Because Nico got rid of his Casey Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if he doesn't trust the Mavericks and they don't trust him, and the Lakers, you know, what are the Lakers? They're like, hey, Luka, we're going to try and make you happy. What can we do to make you happy? Well, I've got this training staff.
Yeah.
And maybe the Lakers, if he gets a little banged up with the Lakers and can't, and then now they're having to deal with it. And I wouldn't be surprised if Dave McMiniman, who we had on the other day, who's really close with all the Lakers stuff, you know, like Tim McMahon is close with the Mavs, that we start hearing that, well, there seems to be a little friction between Luka's training staff and the Lakers training staff.
Yeah, and I foresee all of that happening. You know, I think Luka's going to be a
very difficult
player. I'm
not hoping it happens. I'm just telling you why I think that's why Nico moved on from him.
I think I agree with you. I think the Lakers have a culture and a history of dealing with superstars on their terms.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and they're going to be a much better fit for that Luka.
Mom and pop.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best player.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he wants to do. Let him do it. You know,
and we sold $3 million worth of jerseys this weekend. You know,
went to the NBA Finals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, in this exact scenario, it's we went to the NBA Finals.
And maybe they don't think they would get back. Maybe they feel like Luka's defense is just not compliant with what it takes to win a championship. Typically, your superstar player is one of the best defenders in the league as well, and that's just not the case. I mean, the more accurate analogy for a career than Kobe and Luka would be James Harden and Luka. And, you know, James Harden forgot how to score once he got to the playoffs, but he shared that I'm going to hog the ball a lot and not play any defense. And that clearly wasn't a championship formula for him. I think it's a very similar player. I teased some draft talk, Brian.
Yeah.
Let's you know, talk about getting this running game going.
Sure.
Pro football focus with a mock draft, sending Ashton Jeanty, and of course they come at it with some analytics, but they have Jeanty to the Cowboys at 12, saying the simplest answer is the right one. It's a rare for a prospect of this caliber to fall outside the top 10. Ranked number 5 on their board. The rushing grade of 96.6, the highest ever recorded by an FBS running back with at least 100 carries in their college football grading history at Pro Football Focus. So that probably goes back 8 to 10 years or something like that.
Yeah.
I'd be okay if you guarantee he's special, because with the commitment that this team is, you know, showing with their words at least to the running game, Mike McCarthy said the same thing, but I actually believe it this time. You know, and assuming there aren't going to be special players at other spots, you know, because they could use so much.
But if you're talking about this guy could give us a Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley type of impact in our running game, go for 1,800 yards, make everything easier offensively, I could be sold on that. But your guy Josh Simmons is on the board, Brian, the tackle at Ohio State.
And that's probably one of the only ways that I would do this. My question back to you would be,
could you see the Cowboys going tackle again after doing Guyton and having Steele under contract?
I don't think so. I don't. Now, they love offensive linemen, and they love the whole idea of plug and play. And they, you know, is it, you know, do you have to, like, just say, okay, we missed on Guyton. You know, we're gonna put Guyton at right tackle, and we're going to let him
compete. We're going to make him a swing tackle until he develops.
Yeah, but you know? Like I said, man, you're at 27, you drafted a swing tackle. See, that's where.
But you have to admit your mistakes. You can't compound them by then playing the dude a bunch.
It's funny when we talk about these things about mistakes and stuff that we, you know, you say, well, we have to admit our mistakes. We have to move on. And I totally agree with you. But to me, I just don't see them.
I agree with you. I don't think they would do that. And
they're gonna have Ginty on that board ahead of Simmons. I guarantee you they will.
We might end up in this year's class in the first round, get a big surprise, and have multiple running backs go in the first round. I've heard a lot of buzz about Travion Henderson from Ohio State.
He's my last workhorse.
Teams love
him. Yeah.
And it's the pass blocking. They think he's going to be a much better pro than he was a college player. Yep. Got to split time. So there's,
sounds like you want to take him at 12, too.
Not at 12. But
44,
I think,
you would.
Like, yeah, but here's the thing. I don't know that he's there. You might not have these guys last to 44. That's what I'm saying is I think multiple guys are going to go round one. Caleb Johnson from Iowa could end up being another one. It's like Jahmyr Gibbs at 12 was a shocker. Ashton Jeanty might not be there at 12. There's some teams in the top 10 that I think are going to consider taking him. I think you're going to see Caleb Johnson, Omarion Hampton, and Travion Henderson all will be discussed in the first round of this draft.
I'll say it again. There are some people around the league that if they're in that position to draft Jeanty, are hoping that he probably goes ahead of where they're picking so they don't have to make that.
Yeah, and if he's there at 12, I think you have to have the conversation of like, okay, are these backs going to get to 44? And I kind of don't think that they will.
Jeanty could very well be gone. Johnson, Hampton, Henderson, all gone. You're probably in the second round at 44. You might be looking at Sampson, Harvey, Junkins, that kind of crew. Third round backs at 44.
Man, what Wolchuk said made me think that maybe taking Jeanty at 12 and avoiding everybody else picking your backs before 44 might be something to consider. Yeah. It is time now. We're live on Radio Row in New Orleans, brought to you by Stella Artois and Low T Center for Chiafalo Sports Hodgepodge. Where are you taking us, buddy?
Yes, among other things, move over, Jerry. There's a new yacht in town.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Vallany and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, from conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the GBAC Nation here on the Fan Live from New Orleans on Radio Row. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. By the looks of NBA Twitter, three-team trade deal is being worked on involving three teams. KD would go to the Warriors. Andrew Wiggins to the Heat, Jimmy Butler to the Suns, and the thought being that if the Suns cannot get this deal done, then they would move on to trading KD somewhere else. I don't know. This thing does not make sense to me. Like, why would you trade away Kevin Durant and try to bring in Jimmy Butler? I don't think that gets you any closer to a championship. That's crazy.
Agreed.
What if GMs saw what the Mavs did with the Lakers and they're trying to leverage Nico into offering more? Oh, no. Oh, you want KD here? Well, we're going to ask for Lively. You know, we're going to ask for all three first-round picks. I wonder, you know, if the trade, the three team is being discussed as constructed, if I'm Nico, I'm calling their bluff, because I do not believe the Suns really want to trade away Kevin Durant for Jimmy Butler. That's insane.
It does feel very insane. I do think that you could take advantage of Nico, though, in a moment like this, because if this was his whole plan,
yeah,
moving on from Luka, getting Anthony Davis, and then trying to secure a guy like KD, now he's in desperation mode. He's the guy that's telling you, I need to win this season or next season. So I do think that type of guy in a negotiation could be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
But yes, the roadblock of why would the Suns want to move on from Kevin Durant to bring in Jimmy Butler, who's going to be opting out and looking for a big extension in the summer.
Yeah.
I don't see how that makes any sense.
You're just trying to clear salary, and we'll take him. We'll move KD for expiring contracts.
Are we making a mistake in like trying to think logically about NBA trades?
Yes, to some extent.
I mean, are we really this thing with Luka? It just doesn't make any sense. In their world, it makes perfect sense when you're talking about 2 years, 3 years. You know. I think people look at what happened to Bob Myers in Golden State. Bob Myers on top of his game. Next you know, Bob Myers is like, I'm walking away from this, man. I'm about to go do me some NBA today. You know? I'm about to go be that dude.
Not very good at it either.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. But he's Bob Myers is like, he walked away from being – he's one of the most respected general managers in basketball.
Yeah, he did.
And okay. I just kind of feel like that – we're here trying to make sense of NBA trades when we should be thinking about the craziest damn thing you could ever imagine.
I hear you, man. I'm up for it. Okay, I'm also up for a sports hodgepodge, and here with that payoff is the Chief.
Yes, okay. So how much was the Jerry yacht brought us? How much did that run him?
I think it was $250.
$250?
$250.
Okay, well, and that was, I think, Daniel Snyder.
I think his was less. I think he was $199 or something.
Arthur Blank's got the most expensive one among the owners, right? Didn't we find that out last year?
I think Khan's got one that's $350.
Now we're finding out from Darren Revelle, who is here at Radio Row, the Jaguars owner, Shad Khan, has his $360 million mega yacht parked in New Orleans right now.
That's a flex.
$360 million. So, and this thing, now, tell me if this, I don't know, tell me when you're, like, side-eyeing this thing. Three pools, four fireplaces, you have a spa, a sauna, a cryo chamber, a gym, a yoga studio, basketball court, pickleball court, helipad, sleeps 12 guests.
I think the only thing that threw me off was the three pools. You know, I could see two. One for little kids. You know, if you're a family man, you're going to have grandkids around, you want the little waiter, a kiddie pool for them.
Yeah.
And then a big adult pool. But that's it. You don't need a third pool.
Okay, because I was thinking about...
Is it on different decks?
See, it could be a deck thing. It
could be a deck situation.
Your mind always going to decks, Brian.
Yep.
But,
some brand.
But to me, it's the sleeps 12 guests. A $360 million yacht is sleeping 12 guests?
The rooms aren't very big. That's probably why. I mean, I do. I have the one reality show that I kind of keep tabs on is Below Deck on Bravo. I'll watch that with the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually don't have charters of more than like 6 to 8 people.
Yeah.
And those are pretty damn big yachts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this one, like if you're fitting 12 people on the yacht, I still think, I mean, you're right. Like big picture, if I'm paying that amount of money, I'd like to be able to splurge and have more people. But I do think it has to do with the size of the rooms more so than anything else. Because if you've ever gone on a cruise ship, those rooms are teeny tiny too.
It might be a strategy move to get everybody off the boat at night. You know, like, sorry, only sleeps 12.
Well,
you gotta go.
It could be also in a situation, like too, that. Where if something happens to the boat, you got to be able to get those people off. So what about your rescue craft?
Well, he's got 37 members pods on his crew.
Okay.
So he's got a crew.
And they've got a separate area where they stay and sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So maybe it actually.
Yeah, like it can. That's not including 50, the crew and like the captain and everybody else on the boat.
There we go. Makes a little bit more sense.
So you got to get about 50 people off that boat if something happens.
Yeah.
You could blow out half your crew and bring in the extended family for a weekend.
Yeah. You know? If you need to do something like that, you can do that.
Like, hey, you're going to sleep down where the bartender dude sleeps.
Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty nice.
Just like little bunk beds.
Yeah.
How do you guys think Anthony Davis is feeling about, all of this, and I don't know how this reception is going to be for him, but then insult to injury, Mavs social media crank out a nice little graphic with the huge resume of Anthony Davis, and they only gave him 9 All-Stars. He went in on the comments and corrected it.
Oh, no.
10-time All-Star.
Actually, 10.
Yeah.
We're off to a great start here.
Did he just make the All-Star team? So 10 would be this year?
Yes, that's what it is. That's what
Nico
it is.
Nico is about to go have a word with PR.
Or, they want to have a word
social,
with him.
The social team.
You know what I think that is? Passive-aggressive. We don't like this move. Bleep you, Anthony Davis.
Maybe there was somebody in there that was like, watch this shot, I'm going to fire. I think this is ChatGPT.
What a play by me.
Because their cutoff is like October of 2023.
There you go. So they didn't add in the
So
the
if
new...
you ask for anybody's resume,
that's
they're going to cut
spot.
You short about 15 months.
Ooh. Blind spots.
Yeah.
Cutting corners.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. Do you like the idea of Mavs fans that want to sort of revolt a little bit, make their presence felt?
Like storm the gates?
No. I'm just thinking how many people want to buy a Luka Lakers jersey and show up to the next Mavs home game? You know, something like that. Now, I don't know, because the Lakers jersey it on your Maverick body,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Might just be absolutely no chance.
Well, so the Mavericks are in Philly right now. They just ended the first quarter. They're down 36-31. Max Christie is playing. He's got 4 points in 7 minutes. And I saw Mike Curtis of the Morning News just said Sixers fans broke out with a random "Where is Luka?" chant. Mm. I think they're probably going to get trolled everywhere they go now.
Yeah, they need a big winning streak.
And then I was yelling, "Where is Embiid?"
I think it's a
"Where is Embiid?"
There you go.
Unfortunately, he is playing.
"Where is Simmons?" "Where is the process?" "Where is the championships?"
"Nerlens Noel."
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of them in there. You know, I think. Oh, for a fan, you look at what Rangers fans did when Josh Hamilton came back and he got up to the plate and they all pulled out their newspapers and pretended like they didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's a lot of ways you could sort of show your dissatisfaction. Maybe just not going to the game would be the biggest. You know,
I know.
If you're at a half-sold-out arena or something.
Yeah, like, do you think the angriest of Mavs fans want to boycott entirely? Or at least for this first home game when they come back, do they want to show up and allow their voice to be heard with just how upset they are, especially at Nico Harrison?
Yeah. You know, I could see that. A real loud round of booing for the starting lineups.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of ways you could play this. But, yeah, I do think going to the AAC over the years, just as I said about the Dallas Stars fans that are in that building, the Dallas Mavs fans that are in that building,
pretty
the
loyal.
Majority of them, I know some season ticket holders are looking for a refund or something like that, but I think they just love basketball. They love the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. They're there to support, and they'll hope for the best. But I don't think many of them are going to turn their back on the organization. I think some very loud, vocal fans went viral on social.
Why do I feel like that if it's an ESPN game or a TNT game that the studio crew is going to be at this game, kind of like it's a playoff game?
Oh, really? Really?
Like when Luka's return to Dallas.
Oh, it's going to be huge. That's going to be a massive moment. That'll be all time. There might be some fans that can recoup a lot of their money just by selling the tickets for that. That's going to be one of the hottest tickets in sports.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be something to watch him go off, you know.
Yes.
This is going to be vintage best Luka. This is Luka on the road in the playoffs coming with fire in his eyes.
Yeah, that's hit the moron prize picks.
And he's going to do
for
it.
For every Luka stat.
He's going to blow a .08.
All he needs is one basket.
And show
you win.
To Nico at the end of the fourth quarter.
Man, that was probably the wildest thing that I heard over the last 48 hours. And you don't know how much of this is dirty laundry. But, you know, I heard that maybe the Mavs wanted to keep this trade negotiation quiet because if it did get out, all of the laundry would be aired from teams not wanting to trade for him, you know, and then them explaining to their sources why, and then the story comes out. And, you know, maybe the idea that, you know, doing a little Boston Red Sox shot before the game or a little bit of Ron Artest, having the pint bottle in your locker at halftime, you know, or maybe some afternoon beers before a game, you know, would not be totally out of the range of possibilities for, you know, what could lead to the frustration. And that would be how, you know, you would put on extra weight or be unable to take it off, you know, because of the extra calories that are involved in a habit like that, you know. So I don't know what of that is true, but I know there's always two sides of the story. And, you know, for whatever Luka's faults were, he, you know, could overcome all of them. But, you know, for my history, I don't know if going into your late 20s and into your 30s, that's something that you can anticipate that will continue on at that high of a level. So time is going to tell. I know a lot of fans are frustrated right now, but, I mean, this athletic story that the Mavs might, you know, be dreaming of or trying to conjure a way to get Kevin Durant could absolutely tip the story on its head in a massive way once again. That'd be a lot of fun to talk about with you
guys. Did they just put that out there to calm the horses out here? Hey, man, we're trying to get KD, get these fools off my back here in Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog.
I can't imagine you hope to win a championship with Kyrie as your main playmaker. You know, even in his prime, that would just not be enough. So there's got to be something else that would allow the championship puzzle to come into focus. We'll crosstalk with the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking with you next. It's the G-Back Nation of the Fan. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on the Fan, and it's time now to get set for the Fan After Dark. Fred and Blake cooking tonight. Gentlemen, evening.
Evening to you boys. How is Radio Row out there, man? How's the food been? How's the vibes? I miss you guys.
Sexual.
This is definitely a blanket situation.
And
I believe it.
Yeah.
The food is outstanding. We got brats over here with the Green Bay area. You got fried catfish. Of course, Bounty's bringing it strong with the chicken wings once again. So the ability to snack all day is right there for the taking.
Only thing that would make it better, Blake, is if you were here.
That's right.
Just take it over.
No, that would be great. One day.
I'd prefer Fred.
All the fads, really.
What's the biggest celeb you've seen so far?
James Harrison was the most physically impressive.
He's still yoked?
Let's see.
Is he still yoked?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Probably Zach Martin and Brandon Aubrey.
Brandon Marshall.
He's not popular.
Debo Samuel's right there.
Okay. Debo.
Behind us with Broadus' quarterback, Will Levis.
What non-athlete have you been impressed by?
Paige Spiranak.
Well, she is an athlete.
She's going to join us tomorrow at 2:20.
That's true. Tennis player. Champion. That's a good point.
Okay.
Non-athlete that we've been impressed with.
Josina Anderson
brought a lot of really good.
Fantastic. Yeah.
She talks about energy. She brings a lot of energy.
Except for her Philly defense take was trash. But outside of that, it was
what
rest
was
the conversation
wasn't
good. Oh, well, one of y'all asked her which defense y'all trusted more.
Oh yeah,
she
said that was foolish. She was
really?
Just thrown off by the Dick Fangio.
Yeah, that was my favorite moment when we were talking with the athletic guy, and Chief asked him about Dick Fangio two times in a row. That was hilarious.
That was really good.
Yeah, it was good.
Chief Woolchuck, I know y'all are both big bettors. What would the betting line have to be for you to take the under on Luka when he plays the Mavs on the 25th?
Like 60 and a half.
Yeah. I might still take the over.
Yeah.
It's going to be an incredible night. Now, we didn't get to talk to you guys last night.
Uh-huh.
You know, how do we bounce back from this?
No, so me, me,
I don't know that you do.
Me and Fred have been investigating just like the rest of us on Twitter. I can't keep my eyes off of it. I've come to a conclusion. We know what Nico is cooking. It's not good. It doesn't smell good. But I figured it out. With Tim Cato's reporting today about him not wanting to be the long-term GM, it all makes sense. He's making moves that he perceives as win now and does not care about the fans nor the future of the organization, and it's all becoming crystal clear.
But how do you win now? Like, there's got to be another move, right?
Yeah, we're hearing the Kevin Durant trade talks. To me, at this point, my joy has been taken out of the game. So at this point, I don't trust Nico to make the right move. He just shipped off Q-Dot, who is 5 years younger than the player he traded for in Caleb Martin. So I don't think you win now, and I don't think you win in the long term. I think it was a horrendous malpractice of basketball.
Although I am here for a KD trade, though. I mean, look, if you're going to burn this thing down, let's burn it down and have fun while we're doing it. So if you can get KD here and you got to trade half the team, which apparently you'd have to because, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? Trade the 2029 first round pick you got and Max Christie? Because I don't know what else. I mean, I don't know that the Phoenix Suns are going to give you the same sweetheart deal that you gave the Lakers today. And I don't know if you guys watched that press conference, but that was arguably one of the most gut-wrenching press conferences I think I've ever watched.
It hurts. It really does. Do you think KD, AD, and Kyrie would get to the finals?
Well, me and Fred would have to be the 3 and the 5 out there if they make that trade because everybody would be gone. So, sure. Yeah, be fun.
I trust Fred more than you.
I mean, there's ways to get this done.
Oh, I'll get traded.
PJ, Clay, you know, you're at 30 already. You need one more player. Would you include Lively for KD?
If you trade for KD, PJ's gone. PJ's gone.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. The minutes aren't there.
And at that point, Gafford or Lively's gone.
Yeah.
Probably another young prospect. Probably Max Christie.
Probably Hardy.
I just don't think the team would be good. Like I said, I agree with Fred. It would be fun, but I don't think it would be sustainable.
Are you guys hate watching the Mavericks now? Is that where we're at for the rest of the season?
Yeah.
It's tough. I don't have hate in my heart for the Mavericks, but I am annoyed and frustrated with the decision that they made.
I mean, they're still really good, and I still love just watching NBA basketball. You know, I think it sucks that Luka's not part of it, but it's still all about trying to play great ball, and, you know, they're going to be one of the better teams in the West. So I'm going to try to compartmentalize my Luka disappointment and still enjoy basketball, I guess. But I know a lot of fans share Blake's frustration right now. What do you guys have planned for the show tonight?
We'll break down a little bit what Rob Pelinka had to say. I mean, you want to talk about a looking like a Cheshire cat today. I mean, that guy couldn't handle. I mean, he was giddy today.
Thank you, Nico Harrison. Boy, thank you so much, Nico Harrison. Thank you, by the way, to Nico Harrison.
I mean,
and of course, Adam Silver.
Yeah, and the Adam Silver, thank you.
We'll open up Tellos on the telephone. We had people were still angry about it. So people were pretty fervent about it last night. We'll open it up one more time, give them a chance to vent. And, you know, we asked the question over and over again, would a championship this year help dampen the hurt? And so far, nobody has taken that bait just yet.
One of your callers last night actually nominated for G-Bag of the Day. He was on fire last night. Looking forward to it. Fred and Blake, have yourself a great evening. Okay, thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control, 75 and Fitzhugh. Just went 5 flawless once again. Thanks to Broadus and Wolchuk and Giofalo, Tim Collins, DJ the DJ. Of course, Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. Ruben Portillo is here, remote engineering as well. Back tomorrow at 2, live from Radio Row. Thanks to Stella Artois and the Low T Center here on The Fan.